are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, you are powered by SID Media. That is Calvary, thereby purified, sing us there as we prepare to go to our next conversation, Mission to My Neighbor. We are on our lesson study there. It's lesson number 7. So it's quarter 4, lesson number 7, Mission to My Neighbor. I don't know what we're going to learn here. Hey, I hope we're going to learn, because some people live in high walls. It's very difficult to enter into their houses. So we're joined on the line by Pastor Andrew Piri here, who's going to be taking us through this lesson study. Pastor, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you. I am well. And how are you?
I am good, Pastor. I hope that your Sabbath was lovely.
It really was. It was.
Indeed.
I just didn't have Sabbath lunch, but it was good.
Why didn't you eat?
Because I went to a different church and I didn't carry food that day.
All right, Pastor, before we get to hear your secrets there, please kindly pray for us as we start the lesson.
Let's pray. Loving Father, you are talking to us to speak about mission to our neighbors, and we want to know how we can best witness to our neighbors. So help us understand, O Lord, through this week's lesson. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, we're speaking all things mission to my neighbor. I'm really interested on this one because, wow, people who are staying in the burbs, it's a problem to evangelize to our neighbors. Sometimes we don't even know our neighbors' names, let alone what they look like. So it's going to be interesting. So you may please do the introduction that we're getting on the Sabbath afternoon.
So for our introduction, we are led by this memory text that is in Luke chapter 10:27. Where Jesus is answering, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And then he says, love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now we are led to the story, the bigger story of where this text is coming from. In wondering, then, first of all, we say we love God, but what does that look like?
Mm.
We say we love God. And do we obey him? We say we love God. How does that show up in our day-to-day living?
Mm.
Perhaps it's easier to say we love God when it comes to worshiping on the Sabbath, because we look really nice. We are very participative in programs. But on Sunday or on Monday or on Wednesday or even on Friday, how does loving God look like? And then we come now to look at loving our neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Because 1 John 4:20 says, how can one say they love God and not love his brother? It says he's a liar, he who says he loves God but hates his brother who he can see. How do you say you love God whom you cannot see, but you don't love the person that you can see? So this lesson basically just introduces us to that idea, to that concept, that God requires full commitment of our heart, soul, body and mind. But then beyond that, are we loving the brother next to us? Are we loving our neighbor as ourselves? I think that's in a nutshell the introduction of this week's lesson, Mission to My Neighbor.
And you know, loving people is a problem, Pastor. Not a problem, it's a challenge.
It's a challenge.
You know,
it's
loving people that we don't know. So I see that the Sunday one, it says the question of questions. Who are we? Why are we here? In this question they should have added, are we there yet? Because it's coming, you know, are we there yet? So you may please take us through that one.
You know, you started it with a very good point where you're saying the people that live in the burbs, with high wall fences and gates, and with all the skepticism there is, you know, because if you go and knock at the gate, who are you? Especially when you don't look like the neighborhood you live in, people will be thinking, do you even belong in this neighborhood? And things like that. So the question of questions, this particular one that we're looking at in the study guide, is asking the question of eternal life. How do I gain, or how do I get eternal life? That's the question that this lawyer who comes to Jesus to test him, comes asking. But Jesus, being wise, sees there's an opportunity here, and I'm going to take the opportunity and not latch onto the fact that this man is testing me. So he begins to respond to the question and says, how do you read the law? Or how does the law read? And then in his response, he says, okay, love the Lord your God and then love your neighbor. Mm-hmm. And then he asks, who is my neighbor?
Hey.
And Jesus goes deeper into now responding to that question because I think he opportunity to go deeper into these existential questions or these questions that people would have. So the question of questions is, what's the purpose of this life?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I existing? And it's a question that nearly everyone is asking. Why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
Why are all these things happening? You know, so we can take an opportunity like Jesus did. We can see that and take an opportunity or take advantage of that opening with that question to enter and witness to the neighbor. I mean, there are other things that we can explore in our own neighborhoods because this one is on the assumption that this is somebody who is talking to you. But what about the neighbor or the next door neighbor, the physical neighbor who doesn't talk to you? How do you reach out to them? So then you get creative in thinking about how you can break through the suburb and minister this individual. But yeah, basically, in a nutshell, this question of questions is on this question of how can I get eternal life?
Mm.
The questions may be different. People are asking so many different questions.
Yes.
People come and ask us so many different questions. But we must see the opportunity. We must always be ready to take advantage of those opportunities to, as a wedge, you know, to push ourselves in and witness to the love of God in these individuals' lives. I think in a nutshell, in a summary form, Jesus doesn't see the motive that this man comes with, that he's wanting to test him, but rather that he sees this is an opportunity for me to minister to his heart. So sometimes people come with malicious intent, you know, and we can see that there's malicious intent.
Mm-hmm.
And we start responding with the way we feel, you know. But rather than responding with the way we feel, we must take advantage of every opportunity present to us to be on mission to our neighbor. And in the story that we look at in Luke chapter 10, we are given the idea that our neighbor is anyone who is in before us, who is in need of anything. Right. So, yeah.
No, I was just saying that, Pastor, you know, sometimes, because it's been here on the lesson when they're saying that, you know, sometimes you can see that, this one is coming here with malicious intent. But if we don't have those intents, Pastor, that are not good, are we allowed to ask the questions? Or are we testing... Or we can ask the questions, but the motive behind us asking questions is what matters.
I think what matters is that we get a response. Sometimes it is response to the question we asked. So we don't always come with the right intent or the right motives, even to God, right? But God being wise and God being gracious comes in and he responds to what is needed in our hearts. I'll give the example. John chapter 3. Nicodemus, I always want to say Nebuchadnezzar. Nicodemus.
Yeah.
Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he comes with these grand greetings.
Mm.
Master, we know you come from God, right? Or Rabbi, we know you come from God. Jesus does not even respond to those because he sees that this is an opportunity for me to minister to the teacher of teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And he ministers to the teacher of teachers with what he needed for that particular day.
Mm.
So I think even when we ourselves come if it's us coming with ill intent, then we can allow the Holy Spirit to evaluate us in our hearts so that we can sanctify our intentions. But if it is other people coming, we must not forget that we are on mission all the time. So to not let their ill intent or their bad motives affect how we minister to them, but to just remember that we are on mission, we have been sent by the Master, and we must do the mission. We must perform the mission. So respond to these questions with as much grace as we can, but to also hear the heart that is asking, so that we don't miss an opportunity to witness for God.
Yeah.
Because whether they come with a bad intent and they don't reform in the way we respond, they will at least have been ministered to by the grace in which we responded to them.
Mm.
They will say, I came with ill intent, but that person really just handled me with so much grace. That would be witness enough.
Yeah, ne. Fundis, it's going to be a very interesting lesson this whole week. So Jesus' method and response. And what is this Jesus method? You know, I've always had people saying, no, do the Jesus method. Which one is it, Pastor, as we go into the Monday's lesson?
Mm. Okay, so I want to read something here.
Okay.
It says, sometimes people from other religions question us about our faith.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, our Muslim friends ask questions relating to Jesus' divinity, such as where in the Bible did Jesus say that he is God? or where do you say there is one God?
Mm.
So those are questions that come. And now any Bible scholar knows that, first of all scripture is God-breathed.
Okay.
That's one.
Mm.
And that we must study to show ourselves approved. So we must be ready to respond to these questions that come from people. We must be ready to be asked, to be questioned, because even scripture, Paul says that be ready to give a response for your faith.
Mm.
So then when someone says, oh, why don't you eat pork? It is poor workman say, my church does not allow.
Okay.
Because that's not the response.
Yes.
There's a reason why your church does not allow. So give that response.
Mm.
Or if you don't know, then the quickest one is say it's for health reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I mean, which is the real reason of the church. So we're asking about Jesus's method. Jesus' method is that he doesn't shun away from the question.
Mm-hmm.
He takes advantage of this question, such grace as he has, he sees the heart that is asking the question, and he responds to the heart.
Mm.
But the problem sometimes is that we ourselves have questions that have not been answered. And so we're just in as much a conundrum as the person who is asking.
Mm.
So we must seek the answers, or we must ask God the questions ourselves.
Mm.
I think that what this lesson or this particular day's lesson could help us, especially for those that want to go into a deeper discussion on it, is that we must realize that as a church, we must create spaces where the members of the church, the missionaries themselves, first get answers. They must first ask the questions and get a response, so that when we go to our neighbor, we are going to witness having heard a response to our questions ourselves. So basically, Jesus's method is that he doesn't shun away from the question, but he takes advantage asked. And also I think something to highlight is that he points us back to the word.
Yes.
He points us back to experience in the word, which we find everywhere in where Jesus is responding. Even when the devil is testing him, he says, it is written. He points us back to the word, which brings me back to what I was saying. Within the church, we must create a system where the questions can be responded to, so that we become adequate witnesses when we go out. Some of the reasons, the other time we're talking about excuses, some of the reasons is I don't even have the answers to the questions people will ask me, so why am I even going to go? I will embarrass myself if I go. So then we have more people in church who are not engaged in mission because they feel like they are inadequate, they don't have the answers, because no one has taken time to answer them. So Jesus' method is to say, let's go back to the word. Let's investigate principle, and then equip us that way.
And as you're speaking about equipping, Pastor, there is this line there in the lesson that says that sometimes we want answers but do not put in the work ourselves to find them, to a point where we want to be spoon-fed. We've seen in the Christian body, you know, we just use that, not denomination, where we've seen where people have been fed things just because the pastor has said so, but they have not, in fact, studied the scripture. They have not wanted to understand if indeed what the pastor is saying is right, and which actually agrees with this thing, saying that sometimes we want answers, but we do not want to go and find them ourselves.
That's very true. And which brings us to Paul's word to Timothy, we must study to show ourselves approved. We must read. We must engage the material, the word of God. We really must soak ourselves in it so that when the questions come, we can say, I have read it. It is written here and it says this, this, this. Where there is no direct, because like a few days ago, someone was asking about masturbation, and we don't have a clear verse that says, like it does with fornication and adultery. We don't have one that is clear on masturbation. But when you've read scripture, you can extract principle from it and say, scripture has this to say about this, 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 this. So then we can point somebody to scripture, and one whose heart is in the right place is to say, ah, I see that God wants the best for me in this regard because he has said this. So we must investigate the word ourselves so that when people have questions, we are able to direct them to the word.
Indeed.
Because you know, Jesus says, how do you read the law? What is your reading of scripture? You know, so we should be able to say, how do you read the law? How have you read scripture? You know, so my hope then is that, you know, even as we are summarizing this, someone isn't sitting and just listening to this and saying, this is enough for me.
They are actually following through.
They should go and read and see all the verses that are provided there so that even if they're not going to sit in a Sabbath school class, they at least have the word, you know?
Yeah. Hey, thank you so much, Mfundis. And to our listeners, you can go to ssnet.org for you to be able to follow through with the lesson study there. As Pastor was saying, that don't just listen to me and him saying, you know, me, I pick one line there, Pastor comes with all these ones. And what if he's quoting something that is wrong, you know? So you need to also study that. Go to ssnet.org in order for you to learn that. Pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us? We're going to continue our lesson on Wednesday.
Let's pray. Gracious Father in heaven, you're teaching us about how we can be on mission to our neighbors. First of all, you're just letting us know who our neighbor is. God, as we get deeper into this study, into this lesson, help us to understand exactly how we can be on mission to our neighbors, oh God, even to the glory of your holy name. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, thank you so much. To Richard again on Wednesday.
Thank you very, very much.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. So let us take a 1, 2...